Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, May 20th of 2020. And it's hard to believe we're only 5 days from Memorial Day. On Memorial Day, which is, of course, a Monday, I'm going to take some time out of my show to talk about those who gave the ultimate sacrifice by dying for our country and for our liberties and freedoms that we enjoy as Americans. And that's who we honor on Memorial Day. That's what Memorial Day is about. And I will say, don't ever on Memorial Day go say, "Oh, happy Memorial Day." What if it was one of your family members that died? What if it was your brother? What if it was your father? What if it was your... You're not happy when you lose somebody, but they make the ultimate sacrifice for your country so that it could be free and not ruled by the British, by these others, by the, so it couldn't be, so that it wasn't, so that we weren't totally dependent on Britain. And because that's how it could have been had we not had the Revolutionary War. We could still be under British rule right now. You realize that, right? Yeah. We could be under British rule right now, and I'm going to spend some time talking about that on Memorial Day. And it's going to be good. And Great Britain. Great Britain. B-R-I-T-A-I-N. Not the last name of some people in my family. Totally different spelling. Yes. Yes, exactly. And so we're going to spend some time talking about that. And I have to say, we need to keep listeners, the Midland area, I would say especially Sanford, the west side of Midland, just in general, you need to keep that area in your prayers, because we had one dam, the dam that totally broke in Wixom, that, and then we have another on near Wixom that's done, and we have one in Sanford that failed but didn't totally, hasn't yet totally broken. Had it, we'd be looking at even more water right now, and we need to pray that the water recedes and that people get stuff back fast. We need to pray that people recover from this, and you know what I, you know, some of us, many of us have heard the term, never let a crisis go to waste. I don't believe that. Do you? Instead, I have a better one. Great crisis requires great prayer and great faith. That's a better motto, don't you think? Next time, if I ever hear someone say, "Rev, if I overhear him saying, never let a crisis go to waste, you know what I'm going to say? Nope. Great crisis requires great prayer and great faith. And so we have to. And that if it was human error, that depending on what the error is, if it was purposeful new human negligence, we need to pray that they get dealt with. If they, and I know there was a lot of rain, and I'm not going to spend all my show time tonight getting into all the statistics of all the different things I've seen about possibilities that as to what could have happened. If you want to know that, you can talk to an engineer. They would be more up to tell you. Our job is to pray for those involved, those who have lost stuff, lost homes, lost cars, lost other things. Our job as Christians, pray and believe God. Especially when we're in the middle of a pandemic. You say, well, Miracle Man, it's a pandemic. Yeah, the problem is humans created it. It was planned for years. And I see no problem calling it what it is, right? That's why I said plandemic, not pandemic. As you'll know, I tell things like they are. Sometimes I like to jab and that, but really, I like to tell things how they are. Even using humor to do it. Because that's kind of how I am. But, we need to pray for those who are. The part of Midland where I live is fine. It's on higher ground over there. So that was good. I am somewhere else tonight, down in the Detroit area, where at my mom's house, where they didn't get quite the amount of water, the amount of rain. There's rivers around here, but
and lakes.
Yep, we just came off a boat ride, and so my mom was all sitting there getting all hyper about it because she said and lakes. Because we were just on a boat ride, and she teases me all the time, telling me not to get during the warm weather months about not getting tan. That she gets to get tan, but not me. We'll see how that ends as we go through the summer. I want to pray over that flooding right now, and then I got some other quick things to talk about before we read. Get into the word, but they are more positive. Because when I have negative, I like to get that out of the way first, don't you? And to focus more on the positive and what kind of progress. The good news is the river Earlier I had checked it was 35.0, which is still an all-time record. Now it's 34.9 as of a couple hours ago. When I get off tonight, I'll check and see what it's at then, but we're going to believe God that it drops, and praise God. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. I take authority over this situation with that flooding up there in up in mid-Michigan. I speak to that water. Go where you belong. Dams that have broken, repair yourself. Is that a good way to pray? Repair yourself. I speak to that water to be made normal. I speak to those water levels in those rivers to recede, and for the water in those lakes to go to where they ought to be. And may people not lose all these things, all their livelihoods, their businesses, their boats, their homes, their... May it be restored to them, Lord God. Whatever they lost, may it be restored. And what's salvageable, may it be repaired, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I speak calm to those waters that they will recede. You've calmed storms before, wind storms in the Bible, and rainstorms. You've calmed them. You can do that. You can deal with this, and you can fix dams. And I pray that if human negligence caused this, it may they be dealt with swiftly and righteously. If not, then may you just do your thing and just restore everything. I just give you all the praise and all the glory and all that. And I thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to tell you guys something my pastor said a couple Sundays ago. He said, regardless of the crisis, now you can say crises that have happened this year. God said 2020 will still be a year of plenty for my people. It was only to be a year of trouble for those who did not follow. Plenty of trouble for those who did not follow the word of the Lord. Not plenty of trouble for those who did. And so we claim that truth, and we're believing that 2020 is still a year of plenty, that the rest of this year would just be so glorious, a year of not only recovery, but of restoration. I see those lakes restored. I see those boats. Fixed. I see these businesses that have waters. I see that water not in there anymore. I see Jesus just working on this thing, and he's going to do it as he deals with this virus. And it's good to see that community spread is way down. They say it's down from what it even was in February, when we didn't know we had it, the issue that we had. And that's... And then Bill Barr made an announcement yesterday I was really encouraged that he did this. I was, in fact, very pleasantly surprised that he did it. He basically gave states 3 days to start reopening. Now, the article didn't say all the specifics and all the different criteria and all that, but he said they had to start reopening. Michigan has made moves the day before, and while a start, we can do better, because they said that restaurants and bars and retail stores, well, these bars, you know, as a Christian, that'd be so cool if the bars could just be shut down forever. And, you know, we can keep all the grills in that, and Applebee's and them are still fine, but the problem I have with alcohol is that it's not good for Christians shouldn't drink it, and the demon behind it, because there's a very severe demon behind alcoholism. And so be great if those could be open, but it's good to see restaurants and retail up there being able to open at 50%. As far as haircuts, not yet, but and like I said, this is only in 2 of the 8 different regions of Michigan. We need to believe God that she'll do more in the next couple of days, because we have to get these places back open. Especially after what just happened, you know, the last couple of days with the dams thing, people have to get back to work now. They have to go back to work. Because if they're not making money, they got to get back to work. It really doesn't help. So that's why we have to open up. And let me tell you the truth about something. You want to know what? The Constitution is law. Those governors who made all these executive orders, those were executive orders that should really only be suggestions. They are not law. Our governor in Michigan, again, yesterday and today, called them law. They're not. The Constitution is law. So all you business owners listening to me, think about that. You don't have to close your business. You don't have to stay home. Should you stay safe? Of course. The only part of it that's law, obviously we should all remain safe. So none of that, none of these ones are law. But stay home, stay safe. Stay safe is a given. You know, it's a given. But them doing it, and I don't need a governor telling me to wash my hands or how to wash my hands, how long to leave my, and all that kind of stuff. I don't need that. And so just think about that. But the good news is that we are seeing more and more things opening up. In fact, in a couple of days, I'm going to down to Toledo, Ohio, Saturday to kind of see how it's going. They have opened up their malls and retail businesses. Now you can get a haircut there. I have to check. I believe you can go to the spa there also, but I have to see. Can't go to the gym yet, but you can also go to eat outside at a restaurant as of right now. Starting tomorrow, you can eat inside of a restaurant too. And with, of course, you know, social distancing, they may make you wear a mask. They may do this and this and this. And, but nonetheless, it's better than nothing. And good to see more states making decisions to open up. Even North Carolina just did. But it's great to see what Bill Barr did. He gave him a 3-day notice. Open up your state or you could go to jail. 3 days. And that started yesterday. So today, tomorrow, Friday. That doesn't mean that the opening has to take place by Friday, but it means that the orders have to be issued by Friday to open at least regions of their state. There are governors who still need to do more. But some have. There's a couple who haven't even started. There's others who can still do more. There's others who I think are at a good spot for right now, like Tennessee, Georgia. No, I mean Tennessee, Texas. Ohio, that, yep, them too. But then you got a lot of others who can still be in a much better place by opening even more of their state based on what all happens. And for those of you wondering, listeners, well, you know, Fauci thinks this could come back in the fall with a vengeance. It could be more severe. I don't see it. I pray against it, and I also, in my spirit, I don't see it either. Once this fizzles out, it's gone. It won't be back. And I think you're going to see China pay a severe price. Some of our leaders here will pay a severe price for what they've done. And it might not be pretty. In other cases, it may be very welcome. Just take it for what it's worth. Like I said, I think God's going to do some great things. One pastor in Florida, he announced that on May 31st, he is going to reopen his church in this way. They'll be meeting together, but it'll be in a field, more than likely a county over. He'll announce in a few days as to where it'll be. Here are the outlines that he laid out. He'll be there for at least a day, probably more like a week, 2 weeks, maybe even a month, maybe a couple months. But here's how it'll look. No masks, no distancing, laying hands on the sick. He's going to lay hands on the sick. The Bible requires us to lay hands on the sick. Yes, the ministry of Jesus, the ministry of the church is based on social contact. The church was not meant to be socially distanced. It was not. No, you don't want to sit on each other's lap necessarily, but at the same time, we're meant to greet one another. We're meant to, sometimes these ladies, they may go up to each other and hug one another. You know, or my pastor may even say, pat someone on the back, tell them you're going to make it, you know. And like I said, the church was not meant to be socially distanced. And also, Jesus said, do not forsake the coming of yourselves together, even more as you see the day of his coming approaching. That wasn't a suggestion, that was a requirement. I'm going to. But I would just make myself clear on this. Now, real quick before I sing, I just wanted to remind you of your homework assignment. Psalm 23, every day, out loud, so your family can hear it. Wear something that preaches or put it on a sign. Maybe a sign outside your house, fear is a liar. You know, something that's based on scripture, something that is based on the Bible. Use something that can preach so other people can see it around your neighborhood. Maybe when you go to the store, to the park, in the places where you're allowed to go to eat now, when you go to the restaurant. And what have you? Here's something that preaches. Put it on your shirt. Because this means you can reach even more people. All right, now we're going to sing a couple songs, then we're going to pray, and then we're going to go into the word of the Lord tonight. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my mind. He healed my body. He healed, touched my mind. He saved me just in time. Oh, I'm going to praise his name. His name is just the same. I'm going to praise him. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my mind. He healed my mind. He saved me just in time. Oh, I'm going to praise his name. His name is just the same. I'm going to praise him. Look what the Lord has done. When I think about his goodness and what he's done for me, when I think of his goodness and how he set me free, I'm going to clap, 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 clap all night, all night, all night, all night. Yeah, when I think about his goodness and what he's done for me, when I think about his goodness and how he set me free, I'm going to dance. Dance, dance all night, 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 all night. When I think about his goodness and what he's done for me, when I think about his goodness and what he's done for me, I'm going to jump, 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 jump all night, all night, all night, all night. When I think about his goodness and what he's done for me, when I think about his goodness and what he's done for me, I'm going to shout, hallelujah, all night, all night, all night, all night, all night. Praise him in the morning, praise him in the noontime, praise him in the evening, praise him when the sun goes down, praise him, God to see, give him ears to hear, give him hands to walk. You got a mouth to talk. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord the highest praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on and give and give and give the highest praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's praise. His holy name. Let's praise His holy name. Come on and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on and clap your hands and praise Him. Come on and do your dance and praise Him. Come on and do your dance and praise Him. You give me eyes to see. You give me ears to hear. You give me hands to walk. You got a mouth to talk. You give me eyes to see. You give me ears to hear. You give me eyes to walk. Give a mouth to talk. No, 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 no. Hallelujah. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He healed my mind. He saved me just in time. Oh, I'm going to praise His name. His name is just the same. I'm going to praise Him. Look what the Lord has done. One more time. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. Oh, I'm going to praise His name. His name is still the same. I'm going to praise Him. Look what the Lord has done. Yes, Lord. I'm going to praise Him. Look what the Lord has done. Praise Him. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Give him a if you're a place where you can shout, shout. If you're in a place you can clap, clap. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Look, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done, what you're going to do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You give life. You are love. You give, bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore. You bring hope to the hopeless. Every heart that is broken, great are You, Lord. It's Your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's Your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to You only. Yes, Lord. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore. Every heart that is broken, great are You, Lord. It's Your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's Your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to You only. It's Your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's Your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to You only. Oh, we thank You, Lord. Great is He, Lord. Great are You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And all the earth will shout Your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are You, Lord. All the earth will shout Your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great Are you Lord? Yes, you are. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. Yes, Lord, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Hallelujah. Oh, if you're not already, lift up your hands to the Lord. Just thank him right now for what he's doing, what he's going to do, what he's already done. Just thank him. Okay. Just see everything you've lost restored. If your heart's broken, just see it. Just see it restored. If you're evacuated somewhere and you've seen your house got destroyed, just see it restored. Whatever it is, just thank him for what he's doing. And just see yourself free. See yourself healed. Don't see yourself bound. Don't see yourself displaced. See yourself healed. See yourself set free. See yourself restored. See yourself in a better relationship with Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we come to you right now. We're so grateful to be able to study your word tonight, wherever these people are. And I just thank you, Lord God, that your spirit would just rest on these people tonight. May the anointing just reach through their phone, through their computer, through their iPad, through their Kindle, whatever device they're using to stream tonight. May the anointing just go through that device into their spirit. And I just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, what you have done, and what you're going to do in the lives of these listeners. And I just thank you, Lord God, that as we study your word tonight, may things be imparted to these listeners that they would remember for a lifetime. And I just give you praise and honor and glory for what you're doing in the lives of these people. Thank you that every need that tunes in may be met in the name of Jesus. And Heavenly Father, I make my confession over this program. I thank you that sponsors and partners come into this program. I thank you that finances come into this program. I thank you that increases in listenership coming to this program. And most important of all, Jesus, I thank you for increases in souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this radio broadcast, this program, in Jesus' matchless name. Amen. Amen and amen. Go with me to Luke 5. Going to talk about living by faith and not fear. And in that, I'm going to talk about how fear can keep you from fulfilling what God has called you to do. Once again, we're going to Luke 5. Luke is in between Mark and John. In case you don't know where Luke is in your Bible, it's in the New Testament. I don't have a Mark T. Barclay special edition Bible, otherwise maybe I'd tell you what page number it is. Luke 5. Say praise God or something. I'm there now. I'm just giving you a minute to find it. Find Luke 5. Hallelujah. Verse 1. And I want to encourage you, whatever I do when I'm doing these programs, the first few minutes, I'll talk and what have you. But then after that, when we get to praying and singing, then enter in. When I'm worshiping, enter in. When I'm praying, pray. When I'm studying, you study with me. Praise God. So, Luke 5, 1. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God, which, by the way, they weren't social distancing at all. They weren't wearing masks. They weren't doing any of that. All right, seriously, I'm going to go back and I'm going to start reading this. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake Gennesaret, and the people crowded around him and were listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge, he saw two boats by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Pull out into deep water," or as we would say, "Let's go out a little further, a little deeper, and let down the nets and a catch." Or, as we may say it, "Let's go fishing." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught any fish. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a huge number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to the partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came, filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Simon Peter saw this. He fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. In other words, he said, from now on, you'll win souls for me. Verse 11. So they pulled their boats up on shore and left everything, and they followed Jesus. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, with his face to the ground, and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand, touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone. Go show yourself to the priest. Offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Verse 17 now. One day, as he was teaching, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat, and they tried to take him into the house to lay him in front of Jesus. When they couldn't find a way to do so because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on the mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. 6 feet apart. Oh, does it say that, Mom? 10 feet. Nope. None of that. Nope. Try it again. 19, 20. When they couldn't find a way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof, lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. Yeah, right in front of Jesus. They weren't distancing. No. Jesus' ministry was focused on contact. Verse 20. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, you say, why did you throw that jab in there, Miracle Man? I did that because I want you to see. So he said, those of you who are new to this whole thing, you know, this whole ministry of Jesus, is that it was based on contact, and that is a requirement for Jesus to lay hands on the sick. Jesus told us to lay hands on the sick, and they would recover. He did. Verse 20. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, sad you see, because they always found ways to go after Jesus all the time. They began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he asked, Why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And he said to the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take your mat, go home. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and he went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. And they were filled with awe, and they said, we have seen remarkable things today. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at a tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus said. Levi got up, left everything, and followed Jesus. Then Levi heard a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? He answered them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And then I just go through this passage, and then that'll be the end of it. And they said to him, John's disciples often fast and they pray. So do the disciples of the Pharisees. But yours go on eating and drinking. Jesus answered, can you make the guests of the bridegroom mourn and fast while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will fast. He told them this parable. No one tears a patch from a new garment, puts it in an old one. If he does, he will have torn the new garment, and the patch of the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old bottles. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out. The wineskins will be ruined. No new wine must be poured into new wineskins. No one, after drinking old wine, wants the new. For he says, the old is better. Start of the chapter 5 here. Jesus and the disciples are near the lake shore. Jesus gets done preaching, and he's teaching from near the lake shore. People are, crowding all around him, listening to the word of God. At the water's edge. And then he gets into one of the boats, Simon's boat. And then he's teaching the people from in the water. Because sound travels from water. Do you think that's why he did that? Is because of sound traveling? To try to use that as his mic? He didn't do that to distance himself by any means. He did it so that people could hear him better. Because listeners, he grew very big crowds. Times there was thousands of people. Oh, by the way, the times he fed all of those thousands of people, a couple of times, there's 5,000 men, plus women and children. There could have been upwards of 15,000 people at the crusade. I say crusade because at one point he says, I have compassion on these people because they have been with me for 3 days and had nothing to eat. 3 days. That tells me that those were some long services. And, people get mad at churches if when the Sunday morning service starts at 10, if they're not done, if they're not done by 12, they're like, what? They're like, what on earth? You missed the holy hour of noon. Oh, some people now, they'll be like, oh, the holy hour of 11:30. Because they want to beat the Methodists, the Baptists, the Presbyterians, and the Wesleyans, the Catholics, and all the other groups to the restaurant. You know they do. Regardless, if they're going to eat out on Sunday for lunch, that's regardless of what restaurant they're going to, by the way. Doesn't matter if it's the food court or Applebee's, Logan's, or brunch. Doesn't matter. But they'll do that. But back to the message. So they get into the boat. The one belonging to Simon asked him, put out a little from shore. And he's teaching the people from the boat so they can all hear him. After his message, he tells Simon, Simon, let's go out a bit further and go fishing. And then Simon proceeds to inform Jesus that him and his partners have been working all night catching fish, hadn't caught any fish. Think about that. Fishermen who are paid to go to fish. Commercial fishermen. Commercial fishermen who catch these fish for the marketplaces in the day, for the places where people would go to buy their fish. And those fishers hadn't caught any fish at all at night. At all. And they caught no fish. And then he says, but I'll do what you say. I'll let out my net. And then when they did so, they caught such a huge amount of fish that their nets began to break. And then they had another boat. And because of the amount of fish, both boats were about to sink. But then Simon basically said, he called Jesus a sinful man, all because of his fear, because of what he saw, because he saw that the boats were about to sink, and mind you, this is his livelihood. This is his family. This is how he gets earned an income. But you see, after seeing that miracle, they were in fear. When they could have had faith, they could have just had total faith. But instead, they decided, yes, I'll put it out further. This is kind of like he tells you to do something. Maybe it's something so you can have a miracle. You do it. You receive what you were believing for, but once you see it, you're in fear. Here's the deal, though. You can't have faith and fear mixed. That's dangerous. If you go in one moment from faith or even just doing something because they said to do it, maybe he didn't have faith. Maybe he was just sitting there doing it because he said to do it. And then he does it. It's so easy to comply. They tell you to do something, you do it. They tell you to do something, you do it. But then when he saw the amount of fish, when they saw what was happening to the boats, he was so afraid that he called Jesus sinful and to go away. And then Jesus told him, actually Jesus said, I am a sinful man. For in all, they were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so Jesus, and so James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. And from now on, you will be fishers of men. You will win souls for my kingdom, in other words, is what Jesus was telling them. Telling Simon, he was saying, Simon and your partners, you will all be fishers of men. And when you're catching souls, it's like fish. You're going to find big sinners, you're going to find little sinners. You're going to catch big whopper fish and little snapper fish. And there's going to be different kinds of fish that you're going to catch. And everybody's different. But you can't allow yourself to just live in fear. Fear can keep you from fulfilling the call of God on your life. Oh, God could have called you to have a big pulpit ministry and to do all these great things for Jesus and to do crusades and people would be healed and set free and delivered and be baptized in the Holy Ghost and have joy fill their hearts. But the person who God gave the assignment to got fear and allowed themselves to live in fear. Maybe they even had good intention. I'm going to do this for God, but I'm afraid of all these people. I'm afraid of what they're going to think about me. I'm afraid of I'm so afraid to speak in front of all these people. I'm afraid of what they're going to think of me. I'm afraid that I'm going to speak worse. Help me. You see? You gotta have God, let God show you what you're supposed to be doing. And once you know it, you're supposed to ask God to help you do what God's called you to do and not allow yourself to live in fear. We're talking about living by faith, not fear. Fear can get in your way as a business owner. Fear can keep you from some of these vacations that you want to take, but you can't take them because of certain fear that you have. Oh, can't go to Europe because I'm afraid of flights. And I can't drive there, so guess I have to do without. What? You're going to let fear rule your life? Especially if it involves ministry? And you're supposed to travel to these places to reach the lost, but you won't do it because you're afraid of heights? Instead, you should be praying to God, asking Him to help you. You can't have faith and fear together. If you are faithful, then you are fearless. Now listen. When I said fearless, I didn't say unwise, uncautious, no wisdom. No. When I said fearless, I mean you're not letting fear and anxiety get in your way. Fear is a demon. Anxiety is a demon. Mom, would you call anxiety a demon? I would. It's a demon. Yep. And fear, I know, if you're nervous once in a while about something, all of us get nervous about something once in a while, you know, that's a healing thing. But if you just keep allowing it to rule your life and rule your life and rule your life, day after day after day after day after day after day after day, another medicine, another this, another that, another appointment to deal with the anxiety, another another pill to get through the flight, another this, another that, and all that kind of stuff. At that point, you got a demon. And you got to get rid of it. Can't allow yourself to live in fear. Instead, live in faith. Faith. Instead of saying, I'm so afraid, you say, what you change that to is, I thank you, Lord, that you're dealing with my emotions. Thank you, Lord God, that you're dealing with me, showing me what to say. I am not nervous. I am confident. I am prepared. I am. And you prepare yourself. And you let yourself live by faith. And when you believe in God to do something for you, you don't want to go up to you don't want to be praying to Jesus acting all afraid. Or like this whole uncertainty thing of, Lord, I'm not sure if you can do this, but if you can, heal me. Jesus didn't want us to be afraid, uncertain. He wanted us to be confident. He wanted us to be free. He wanted us to be just have that confidence. Now let me go show you to where that was a guy that was a fear man. Now let me show you the faith person. Go back with me to 17, Luke 5, 17. So Jesus is going with Pharisees, teachers of the law. And the power of the Lord present for him to heal sick people. People, and these people came on a mat. I mean, they come to the house of God, to the synagogue. Maybe it was, it might have even been an arena, but we'll say it was like this church. They try to bring him into the church to lay in front of Jesus, but they can't get him in because of the crowd. They could have sat there and said, "Sorry, sir, can't get you in." All these crazy people decided to come, and the place is at capacity, full capacity, to the point where you can't even get through. Like, beyond what the law legally allows, even. And you can't get in at all. And so they decide to do something crazy. In fact, they bring them down through the roof into the house of God. And they, that hole that they brought him down through, sure enough, is right in front of Jesus, in the front of the church. Think about that. Can't get in the building because it's at capacity. Fire marshal comes, he shuts the whole thing down. Is it just me, Mom, or do you imagine the fire marshal would have shut the thing down and declared it an unsafe condition? He would have kicked everybody out of the building, and if not left peacefully, they could have gotten arrested. But there was no fire marshal there. So they bring him in through the hole right in front of Jesus. And watch this. We're not finally doing verse. The crowd right in front of Jesus. Verse 20. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Pharisees, teachers of the law, they, "Watch for me. Who can give sins to God alone?" You know, they had a problem with how he said it. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, which is very sad, you see. I think it's funny when I do it. Dr. Buckley does it. He'll go after the Sadducees sometimes, and he'll make his point. But it really is true, because it was sad how the Sadducees would go after Jesus. And they go after him. Every time he does a miracle, they have something negative to say. They have something negative to say. "Oh, you could have done it this way. Oh, you could have done it that way. Oh, you shouldn't have let that many people in the building. Oh, you shouldn't," you know. They just go on and on and on and on and on and on. How do you put up with those people? I don't know how he put up with those people. I don't know how he, I don't, were there that many of them, or did he just put up with them? They just wouldn't leave him alone. Anywhere he went, they went. They'll even sit there and listen to him preach for 3 days, and their father has something negative to say after that. You know, they do, and I imagine churches have them in their church. I'm just saying, a lot of these churches, spiritual churches, you might have someone like that in your church, or at least someone who tries to complain. "Well, here's how you should have done it instead." Well, you should, you know. And then he said he knows what he's thinking in their hearts. He knew what he was thinking in their hearts. And, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say rise up and walk? You know, the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And then he says to the man who's paralyzed, "I tell you, get up, take your mat." He tells him, "Take your mat and goes home." go home than he goes home. And I'm sure he goes and tells everybody about what God had done for him. Multiple times Jesus tells people, do not tell anybody. He tells them anyway. They tell him anyway. And then Jesus' crowds get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then you got those people who don't like him, who they want him to leave their area and just never come back. And they just... But you see, here's the difference. The helpers of the paralytic man, the man who was paralyzed, they chose to be determined by faith, not fear. They decided to bring him in through a roof. Even though the Bible doesn't say that, we pretty much doesn't say that the Pharisees had a problem with it. We pretty much know they did. You pretty much know that they had a problem with it, right, Mom?
Yeah.
You pretty much know that the Pharisees and the Sadducees had problems. And the Bible only talks about some of the problems that the Pharisees and Sadducees had with Jesus. Well, let me tell some of them. I'm sure they had a lot more. But you see, the helpers of the paralyzed man, they chose to live to be determined by faith that they had in God. Whereas Simon and the partners with him, they had fear. And they turned out to be great fishers of men and soul winners. But when they were catching fish, they decided to let fear get to them. They had worked all night and hadn't caught any fish. That'll ruin your day if you're a fisher. Yep, that'll ruin your night if you're a fisher. You get paid all this money for doing all this fishing, working all these long hours, and you catch no fish. No. Be something if they were. He go, but they, you know, they had that fear in their heart, and they let it get to them. To the fact that when they saw their miracle, they saw their miracle, all that fish, and they were afraid because they thought they were going to go under the water because of sinking boats. And he said, now you'll be soul winners. God wants us to win souls for him. Jesus wants us to win souls for him. And this is the last of 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 the last days. As what we've been going through lately reminds us. And so our time is getting short to reach the lost and to reach the unreached, to tell the untold about the goodness of Jesus. And so the question becomes, you have to examine yourself and ask yourself, am I like how Simon had been? Or am I like the helpers of the man who was paralyzed and got healed? You a faith person? Are you a fear person like Simon and his partners, or are you a faith person? a faith person, like either of those helpers, and you have to examine yourself and see where you are. Because more faith, less fear. All faith, no fear. All fear, no faith. If you're fearful, then your faith less. If you are faithful, you are fearless. It is as simple as that. It's as easy as ABC 123. It is not a hard concept. And some of you sit there and think, how hard is it? It's not. We just got to examine ourselves. I work on this myself. And even though I walk by faith and I live my life by faith, I still have to make sure that I don't allow myself to allow fear to rule me. Because when you let fear rule you, you can find yourself in some serious trouble. Get in the way. It can get in the way a lot. So you can't. And we got to, and this is the last days, we got to win souls and not be afraid to do it. Well, I'm afraid of what they'll say about me. I'm afraid they won't like my outfit. I'm afraid that they won't like if I tell them that they got to go to church. I won't, pass out a tract. When you're on vacation or something, maybe pass out tract somewhere. Maybe, maybe you go to the store in the state. It may be in one of the states where you can now go back to eating out. Maybe after you give them a nice, generous tip, why not leave with them a crack? And hopefully they won't throw it away. Pray to God they read it. Pray to God that they read it. I got like 4, but I'll be done in like 1 or 2. But still, nonetheless, listen, but seriously, time to win souls, one way or the other. Even if you give them your server's tracks or other people, maybe you give one to your clerk at the store, maybe you to someone at the park or wherever else, the gas station, start getting back to normal. You just got to realize we're in the last days. The time to win souls is now, like we haven't done before. And we can't do it in fear. We have to do it by faith. Have to. That means believe God that they get the message. And as you're going through your life, live by faith. Don't allow yourself to live by fear. Fear is a liar. And now, Lord, I pray over these listeners right now. I thank you, Lord God, that they would take this word to heart and choose to live by faith and not fear, and that they will do what God has called them to do, which for all of us is to win souls for the kingdom of God. And I thank you that we will take this word to heart tonight, and as we go on forward into our lives, that we would always just remember this. I give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory for that. In Jesus' name, I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no plague shall come nigh us or our immediate loved ones. For you, Lord, you've given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. I say that no drug or drunk driver, no rapist, no burglar, no no fire, no suicide, no coronavirus, no sickness, no disease, no terrorists, no crash, no flood. We'll come anywhere near us, our immediate loved ones, and we're going to live in great peace and great joy and be a powerful witness through you, Jesus, in Jesus' matchless name. I sure love you. And until Monday night, God first, God always.